Support for IPR and this podcast comes from the University of Iowa's John Papa John Entrepreneurial Center and their National Science Foundation I-Corps Training Program, helping faculty, staff, and students make an impact with their innovations and research. More at iowajpec.org.
It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. Later this hour, we'll meet Des Moines-based artist Jordan Weber. He unveils his latest work today in Cedar Rapids. But first, the First Tech Challenge is a robotics program for middle school and high school students in which they build a team of up to 15 students. They're challenged to design, build, program, and operate robots to compete in a head-to-head challenge. Each season concludes with a national competition, but of course, this is 2020 and things are going to be different this year. We're going to learn about this growing extracurricular activity and how the program is adapting this year. My guest today is Rebecca Whitaker, program delivery partner for First Tech Challenge in the state of Iowa and in the College of Engineering at the University of Iowa. Hello, Rebecca.
Good morning, Charity. Thank you for having me.
Well, thank you so much for being here. And for people who aren't familiar with the First Tech Challenge, give me the big picture. What is this?
Just like what you said, it is a great hands-on experience program for the students in which they form a team, they design, build, and program a robot, they compete with that, but it's beyond the robot, though, too. The team has to do outreach into their community, they have to recruit students to help fulfill the team for future years, and they also have to do fundraising. So we like to say that the robot is just the vehicle to the learning of all the soft skills that they learn as well.
All right, and this is for kids who are 7th grade and older?
Yeah, 7th through 12th grade.
And when they get started, I mean, give me an idea of how things start, because not most 7th graders, in fact, most high school kids don't really have a lot of robotics abilities, I'm sure, when they come on board the team. Where do you begin?
Well, so a lot of students really begin in elementary with their fascination of Legos, and they want to build robots maybe with Legos. And then what we do is we work with a lot of schools, and we work with a lot of extension clubs. And we really encourage the students who maybe don't have that niche, who maybe are not athletic or are not in the drama club or the speech club or something like that, and they just want a hands-on experience. So a lot of teachers, what they've done is they've put up posters across their school and be like, hey, you know, let's have the greatest fun ever. Let's learn things hands-on. So it really is about recruiting through schools. But also, like I said, too, the older students start to recruit the younger students. So a lot of word of mouth.
Who mentors these students? I mean, I know from my experience having kids, a lot of times there's the call put out, hey, parents, get involved. Can you coach this club, or the teachers coach a different club? It sounds like you'd have to have some pretty specific background to be able to help kids with this.
So we have coaches who are, like I said, just teachers. We have mentors who are parents, mentors who are librarians, mentors who are professional engineers, really anybody who wants to give back to their community, give back to their school. We have retirees who mentor and donate so many hundreds of hours of their time each season. There is no specific requirement for a mentor. So you don't have to have an engineering background. You don't have to have a business background. All you need to do is, you know, be willing to work with the kids and have them learn at their rate, right? We don't want the mentors to show the kids what to do. We want them to guide the students as to how they learn.
How did you get involved with the program?
So, kind of funny, back in 2009, I got a phone call from a lady at First. Her name's Joanne Halloran, and she was like, very petite sounding voice, and I was working at the College of Engineering at the University of Iowa, and Joanne called me up, and after I got off the phone with Joanne, Dean Barry Butler, who was the dean of the College of Engineering at the time, came down to my office and said, I have a new project for you. So that was pretty much it. I had a phone call, and it was a new project for me, and I've been doing this since 2009, and I've been enjoying the program ever since. We've grown from two teams in the state of Iowa in 2009 to over 200 teams that we had last season.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's incredible. And when we talk about robots, I think we all probably have different images that come to mind. Yeah. Can you describe what these robots look like?
So they are Erector sets, right? So I remember playing with Erector sets when I was, you know, little, 5, 6, 7 years old or whatever. So they're metal pieces, kind of like that, with nuts and bolts and screws. And they're 18 inches cubed, so they're not too big, about 42 pounds-ish. It's very similar. Do you remember in the 90s there was a show called BattleBots where the robots were, you know, not too high off the ground? It's similar to those, but we don't want the robots to destroy each other. There's no saws or anything like that. There's a concept called gracious professionalism with First Tech Challenge. And what that means is you want to do well, you want your team to do well, but you also want your competitor, the other teams at the event to do well too. So you're not going to go in and destroy a robot. You're going to go in and maybe play defense to help the other robot or the other alliance to score. You want to, like, let's say if there was a motor burned out in the opposing alliance, right, in your opponent, you're going to go over and you're going to offer your spare motor. So that way you could have a fair match. You don't want to necessarily gloat if a motor goes out or a wheel falls off. You're going to help that team too.
As you start with the building blocks, what can teams or alliances do to set their robots apart? What are their goals? What do they work for during the season?
Oh, that's a great question. So the robots can really consist of anything. So any material, like a 3D printed material on their robot or a plexiglass or anything like that. What the students want to do is they want to design the robot to successfully complete the tasks, but also to stand out too. So in years past, we've had teams who put maybe, like, the theme to their team is maybe the color green, and they've put LED lights, green LED lights on the bottom of their robot. So that way they can kind of stand out, or they powder coat some metal pieces green. They want to create a theme and then carry it through all the elements of having a team. So maybe their pit area, the area where the students hang out during a competition, maybe everything like that is green, and maybe their t-shirts are green and then their robots are green. So they want to be able to stand out, and they want to be able to show off to the other teams what they've been able to accomplish.
I have seen some of the fun outfits that teams put together, and clearly the kids are having a good time. Walk me through the competition. How does that work?
So the competition, at an event, teams are randomly assigned into two pairs. So, for example, there's a red alliance and then there's a blue alliance. And let's say a team is on the red alliance for one match, they might be on the blue alliance for their next match. Your alliance partner would also change during the event too. So let's say you're team 1, 2, 3, 4, your alliance partner might be your competitor for the next match. During a match, what happens is the first 30 seconds is autonomous. Whatever is programmed into the robot is what the robot is going to do. So if a program says, go find or go follow this line for 6 inches, turn right, and then go dump a ball into this basket, that's what the robot's going to do. After the 30 seconds, there is a 2.5 minute teleoperated period. So what that means is they pick up these game controllers, which are very similar to PS3 game controllers, and then they drive the robot. So they can manipulate the goal. They can pick up different balls or rings or whatever the item is. They can maybe play a little defensive if they want to. And then part of the end of the 2.5 minutes is called the end game. And that's kind of where the finale happens of a match. So for example, for this year, for Ultimate Goal, they have to pick up one of their goals and put it outside of the ring or the perimeter of the field. So the match is really fun to watch. My favorite component is the autonomous, the first 30 seconds, and then the last 10 seconds during the end game.
And why is the autonomous section so exciting to you? What are you looking for?
What I enjoy the autonomous section because of the fact it's really whatever the kids program. So that's where, like I said, that's where the glitches come out, right? So maybe they said, hey, turn right, and they accidentally programmed it for it to turn left. That's where the robots really kind of, in a way, take a mind of their own. It really shows through what the kids have done and what they've learned programming-wise as well. There's a lot of markers around the field which they can use sensors to recognize those markers and to do special programming for those as well. So as an example, like I said, the line follower, go follow this line and turn right or turn left, and there's different elements that they can do that with.
And how do the competitions work? Are there local or regional competitions that build up to a national competition?
Yeah. So in Iowa, since we have over 200 teams, we have formed tournament style. It's called the league tournament style. So it's very similar to a swim meet or a swim competition where they play smaller meets during the season. They accumulate scores. They go into a larger 24-team event. So that's where the teams are interviewed with judging, and then they do matches there. They carry over those scores from the previous matches, and then they advance from that tournament onto larger tournaments. In Iowa, we have a larger 48-team Iowa Championship, which is scheduled for April of this year. From there, then they go on, if teams advance from the Iowa Championship, then they go on to the World Championship, which is teams from all over the world, not just the U.S., but certainly Europe and Africa and Australia. So it really shows how the collaboration amongst the teams really pays off. So, you know, here in Iowa, we might have a team from a 4A school compete with a team from a 1A school, but in addition to the competition, they're actually working together too. They're showing off what they've learned. So those teams, although they're from, you know, bigger school, maybe even competing schools, they're gonna work together, and they're gonna pull each other along and make each other team stronger.
All right, we are going to take a short break. We'll be back in just a moment. We'll talk more about the First Tech Challenge, a robotics program for middle and high school students. Rebecca Whitaker is the program delivery partner for First Tech Challenge in the state of Iowa. She's with the College of Engineering at the University of Iowa. In just a moment, we're going to meet Will Potter. He's a student at Waverly Shellrock High School and actually founded their First Tech Challenge team in Waverly. We'll find out more about that in a moment. And then later in the hour, we'll meet Des Moines-based artist Jordan Weber. He specializes in social justice and environmental justice, and he'll be unveiling his newest work this afternoon in Cedar Rapids. This is Talk of Iowa.
Support for IPR and this podcast comes from the University of Iowa's John Papa John Entrepreneurial Center and their National Science Foundation I-Corps training program, helping faculty, staff, and students make an impact with their innovations and research. More at iowajpec.org.
It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. Coming up in about 15 minutes, we will meet Des Moines-based artist Jordan Weber. He's unveiling his latest work this afternoon in Cedar Rapids. Right now, we're talking about the First Tech Challenge. It's a robotics program for middle school and high school students. They build a team of up to 15 students and are challenged to design, build, program, and operate robots to compete in head-to-head competition in an alliance format. And there are 200, or at least last season, there were about 200 teams in Iowa. With me, Rebecca Whitaker, program delivery partner for First Tech Challenge in the state of Iowa, and she's with the College of Engineering at the University of Iowa. And with us now is Will Potter. He is a student at Waverly Shellrock High School, a junior, and he's on the First Tech Challenge team. Hello, Will. Hi, Will. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Oh, great. Lovely to have you here. And Will, you actually founded the First Tech Challenge team at Waverly Shellrock?
Well, that's not entirely, it's somewhat true in regards. Actually, when I was in eighth grade, my older brother founded the robotics club at the high school. Then when I was a freshman in high school, I founded another team. I was a founding member on the team, the Shellbots.
And what drew you to this?
Well, I've always really liked engineering classes. I really like building with Legos, and we had some engineering classes in middle school that were really fun. And then my old brother, when he was participating in robotics, it all looked like a lot of fun. So I decided I'd try it out, and I'm here. It's been a lot of fun to participate in.
Tell me what a practice is like in a normal year.
of course. In a normal year, we would typically have two practices in a week. We would normally meet Tuesday nights from around 7 to 9. And then on Saturdays, we'd meet from 8 to 12. So that would be a four-hour practice. When we start, we, for the first couple of minutes, 5 minutes, everyone's just saying hi, talking and just chatting. And then we get into what we want to do at specific practice that day. We write in our notebook for what our goals for that practice. And then after about maybe 10 or 15 minutes, we'll go out into each of our own individual groups. We'll have some people working on outreach, fundraising maybe, designing, building, programming, and everyone will go and do their own work. But it's all in the same general area. And at the end of the meeting, then we'll all come back and we'll write down what we did at the meeting and we'll ask and see what somebody else was working on. So that way everyone's really on the same page. Saturdays should just give us more time to be able to do that.
What's your favorite part to participate in?
Like specific role on the team or just my favorite part of robotics?
Well, why don't, how about your role on the team? What is your specialty?
Well, I specifically have been working in designing so far this last year and this current year. And that's really fun because then you get to work about trying to figure out problem solve. How do we want to achieve the different tasks that are a part of the game? And it's really interesting to look and see what other teams have made and then think about, well, should we try that? Well, what can we possibly change? And then trying to do prototyping and designing things in CAD software. And it's really a lot of fun to have the whole progress of seeing how we're developing a robot and solving problems.
All right. And you were going to tell me possibly what your favorite part of robotics is. Is that different?
Well, definitely design is a lot of fun, but I'd say overall, a lot of people would just enjoy that. It's just a fun group of people to be around with. Everyone's so nice and we're always helping each other, learning, growing and improving off each other. And it's definitely really fun to do the driving of robotics, building, designing. But getting to do that with other people who are fun to be around, that's just really something that is very special about robotics.
Now, you've been at this 3 years, right?
Correct. This is my third year.
Can you give me an idea of what you think the biggest challenge that you have helped to overcome with your team is?
That's a good question. I'd say the biggest problem that my specific team has had, the ShellBots, 14736, is getting everything documented. We're all high schoolers, and so we like to do things, but we don't always like to do the more monotonous or tedious tasks. And sometimes, after a long day of practice, and if things didn't go well or we didn't get as much done as we wanted, we don't always want to write everything down. But the notebook is very important, as it shows how our team has progressed throughout the season. And so I feel I've been able to help with making sure people know that it's important to do, and you don't always have to a lot. Just being able to write down what you did in just a few sentences is infinitely better than just writing nothing. It shows the nice progression, and that's definitely been a challenge that our team has had throughout a robotics team.
And how do you think that this will influence your future? Is this something that you'll take with you think into college and maybe into a career?
Oh, certainly. Robotics is something that I was already interested in with engineering, and so I plan on doing something in an engineering field, potentially going to Iowa State for that. But then also just some of the other skills that you gain from robotics are so useful for life, being able to talk to other people, communication, teamwork, cooperation, gracious professionalism, being able to compete with somebody, but still being able to work with them and try to improve is such great skills to have in life in order to meet new people, be able to disagree, but then still be able to improve.
Yeah, that sounds together. Like something that actually everyone in the United States needs a remedial course in. So you are the ShellBots, Will. Before I let you go, do you guys have a quirky, fun theme?
Yes. So we are, as you said, we're the ShellBots. And so We have giant a lot of turtle apparel that we like wear. We've got these turtle shells that we're on our backs. We've got green fedoras. We've got a couple turtle skirts, turtle slippers. We even have a big turtle costume that we'll have one of our taller members of the team wear. And it's really fun to have that. In our booth, we sometimes have different turtle apparel there. We've got turtles on our shirts, and we really represent turtles as our team.
All right. Well, Will, thank you so much for talking with me today.
Yes, thank you for inviting me on the show. It was a pleasure.
Will Potter, he's a junior at Waverly Shell Rock High School, part of the Shell Bots, the First Tech Challenge team there. And Rebecca, I know that there's a different challenge for every year. Of course, this year it feels like we're all working on the same few challenges. But tell me what the challenge is for this season.
Yeah, so it's called Ultimate Goal. And the item is, the scoring item is a ring, very similar to, do you remember the Fisher-Price stackable rings kind of, you know, thing when you were
donuts.
Like a toddler?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So very similar to a size in that, but it's kind of made out of foam. And they have to take these rings and they have to shoot them into a goal off of the field. And they can shoot them in a lower goal, a higher goal, or a taller goal. They also can stack the rings on a wobble device. It's called the wobble goal. They can stack them and then move the wobble goal outside of the perimeter of the field. So every year, like I said, the scoring element changes. So one year there was a bowling ball as a scoring element, racquetballs, softballs, and it just happens to be a ring this year.
And how are you managing in the midst of this pandemic? I mean, I know that different schools have different kinds of in-person rules, and some of the smaller schools may be able to meet in real life. Of course, in a lot of places, they have to meet virtually, right?
Yeah, yeah. So this season has really turned FTC up on its head, and it's created a fun adventure. So typically, we would have teams compete in a smaller group of maybe 12 teams to accumulate the scores. This year, those events, those smaller events, are all going to be remote. And where the events can be held is like in a gym or in their work area, like a garage. Wherever the team meets is wherever they can have their competition. And it's a competition of one team. So instead of the two team alliances, like we talked about earlier, it's going to be one team trying to accrue points. It's going to be a lot of team accreditation on themselves, right? So they're going to have to score their own robot. They're going to have to inspect their own robot. And they're going to have to be honest. There is no way for us to go in and to rescore a match. What we are asking teams to do in the spirit of gracious professionalism is to post a video of their match and say, hey, this is what we've been able to accomplish. Look at how we achieved these points, these 150 points or whatever it is. Posting a video is not required for a team, but it's really to share their knowledge of what they've learned or maybe their design element. And then when we get to the bigger tournaments, we're going to be doing potentially some off-site judging, maybe some remote judging. So that way we're not going to need as many volunteers on-site. And the judging interviews will be conducted via Zoom prior to the event. We're going to have, PPE requirements, face masks, hand sanitizer all over. We're going to spread out the area in which teams will be meeting together. We're going to do as much as we can, to be safe for everybody. Now, if we have a huge outbreak, let's say when we go to DeWitt, Iowa for a tournament, and let's say DeWitt, a school district, says we can't have any events in any of our buildings, then we're going to have to transition that particular event to a remote event, where once again, teams would have to score their own matches. It won't be in alliances or two-team alliances. They're going to have to do everything at their home. We have never done remote events before. There was no need to, right?
Right.
Really like to get together and celebrate and watch the teams. So this is really going to be a great opportunity for everybody, volunteers and students, to learn their technology, to really think outside of the box. How can my team show and prove what we've learned under the conditions that we are? Another big adjustment that is happening because of the pandemic is we are extending our season out. So instead of having the season wrap up in February, we're extending it by 2 months. So it will be wrapped up in April. This will give teams who maybe have to meet virtually because of their school district an opportunity to, to meet and to work together instead of being rushed. Also, it's going to help out the schools who are affected by the derecho in August, who maybe have not been able to be back in their building. They can you know, come back in their building by November, December, hopefully, and then start building their robot or start competing.
Well,
so we're really trying to help those teams too.
Yeah, and it sounds like problem solving is obviously always a goal with the First Tech Challenge, but even more of a goal this year. Rebecca, thank you so much for talking with me.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Rebecca Whitaker is Program Delivery Partner for the First Tech Challenge in the state of Iowa and also with the College of Engineering at the University of Iowa. They have 200 or so teams around the state of Iowa for students from 7th grade through 12th grade.